After 5 weeks of preaching on being generous, it seems like the word generous has infiltrated some of our vocabulary. It was last week when Felicity was working on snack time in which she said, "Would it be generous if I shared this with someone else?" And it's been my conversations with many of you as you've been trying to live into what does it look like to be generous right now and in this place. I was delighted for the first time in my ministry when someone asked me for a commitment card ahead of when they had been published, even before they had been prepared. It makes me wonder if folks are not listening to where God is moving in this place and seeking to be a part of God's movement. This was the life and the radical step of the disciples who have been following for generations. Our gospel lesson today joined Jesus in teaching the scribes and the disciples. Jesus, who saw the system of oppression that often led widows to lose all that they had, and he decries the action of the functionaries, that is, the scribes who had a part in that system. Jesus sees the generous widow in her struggles, cares for her, and then sees she believes she can make a difference. She joins her small resources, those 2 copper coins, with the larger resources of the faith community to impact her very community. She gives confidently that something will impact her world by her giving. I think the generous widow speaks to those of us who imagine there will be some perfect moment that we can give. Those of us who imagine there will be some day when we are paying bills and the birds are singing and we don't have to worry about whether to pay this one or to pay that one or whether to pay just a bit over here and stretch it across to over here. Those of us who imagine there's a day when instead we can be dreaming about what investments to make, what charities to bless with our gifts. We imagine there might be a day when we can comfortably tithe and not worry about making choices about food and resources as well. The generous widow reminds us that we are called to be generous, not out of our abundance, but out of our grocery money and our gas money, the very things that we need as well. In the midst of that which we need, we have a need to be generous. Paul was speaking the same kinds of words to the church at Corinth. He finds in his letters that the needs of God's people are great. Are they not great also today? But the need of God's people to give is real. This second letter to the Corinthians is a bit like turning on a television show in the second season, not catching up quite yet on what's happened before. It's an ongoing conversation Paul has been having with the church in Corinth. He invited them in the first letter to give generously to the needs of the church in Jerusalem. And he writes back, saying, "You have excelled in many ways, and now I call you to excel in generosity." And he says quite boldly, "To finish the thing that you have started." He says, "Perhaps your abundance is just for someone else's needs." Those are some bold things to write, for a preacher. Paul says the people of Macedonia were begging to give of their resources to the church in Jerusalem. I think of that call for commitment cards even before they were available. And I think of the Wednesday night fun opportunities we had during the summer. If I were neglectful in putting out a jar on the table that folks might contribute to, there was always someone who would say, "I have a little bit in my pocket. I'm looking to put it in the jar. Where is it? How can I be generous as well?" Jesus and Paul call us to the needs of others. Now, I have to tell you, in the passage from Mark, I find myself a little bit uncomfortable. There were some parallels with those who wear long robes, who are greeted well in the supermarket, and who could be accused of long prayers. That hits a little close to home, but I'm going to look on the other side for today, and perhaps you don't find yourselves in those places. Maybe you find yourselves sitting looking as the widow puts in the coins, wondering if she should have done something else with those couple of coins. Very few of us can honestly admit that we're in the position of poverty that she finds herself in, but we have a need to care for the orphans and the widows among us, for all those who have a need so great that their own resources cannot cover those needs. It's here and it's around the world where we find people who have been pressed by life's situations that limit their opportunities and their future. Our gifts serve them, their circumstances. And Jesus spoke often about money and about possessions. Do you know that one half of his parables instructed us in something to do with how we would use our resources? The faithful use of our resources. Jesus cares deeply about the way we treat one another, what we have, and what holds us back from being as generous as the movement of the Spirit encourages us to be. Jesus has much to say about these areas of our lives and gives us the examples of a woman like the generous widow to return to. Now, I know these can be difficult and sometimes uncomfortable conversations. I think particularly of our statistics here in America of how many of us are weighed down by debt, the crushing debt of student loans and mortgages, credit cards, and all the rest. If perhaps this might be you, and you're wondering, how can I be generous in the midst of the pile of bills that pile up out of the mail? I want to encourage you with a program that we are looking to help folks with in January called Financial Peace University. We have done it at other churches that I have served, and I can tell you wonderful stories of the ways in which folks have gotten out from the crushing load of debt in order to be able to live their lives more freely. More information will come on the details of what that looks like, but I want to encourage you even today to live into a future in which you align yourself with Jesus's wishes for your life. As I think about our time together in ministry, I realize we've been together in ministry for 17 months. This is our daughter Felicity at 17 months, ready to drive the car. We did not let her. But at 17 months, we have laughed together and we've cried some together. We've watched babies be born and we've mourned the death of some of the saints of our congregation. We've watched God's movement together here and we've called one another. You've all been faithful about that. We've called one another to a greater faithfulness in Jesus. We're like a toddler, full of possibility, a little bit of unsteadiness, but moving forward with promise, poised for the ways in which God is leading us into the future. Yesterday, I was at Planting the Seeds for Ministry Growth with keynote speaker Mike Slaughter. Mike Slaughter is a United Methodist pastor from Gigginsburg, Ohio. Mike's story goes like this. He was appointed to a congregation worshiping about 90 persons on a Sunday morning. By a miracle, at the end of a few months, they worshiped 58 people. That's a decrease in the number of folks who are interested in coming out to worship. But over 37 years, they now serve 5,000 people across four campuses, and get this part, in the fourth hungriest city in all of Ohio. They're doing the work of serving God's people. He shared with us ways in which we can encourage churches to move beyond themselves and serve as well. He said this, we need to release it in order for God to increase it. We need to release our dreams in order for God to increase them. We need to release our resources in order for God to increase them. We need to release our hope in order for God to increase it. We need to release our giving in order for God to increase it. Friends, I have found this in my own life, again and again, in possessions, in dreams, in hope, in money, very practically. Times in which I have cleaned out our closets and been ready to be done with items in our house, I've been blessed by something coming back that was just the very thing God knew that we needed in our lives. It's been almost since the beginning of our relationship, Steve and mine together, that we have tithed and we have been blessed. Across that time, God has always provided for us whatever needs, not wants, whatever needs that we had. So this morning, we ask God to consecrate our commitments. The act of consecration is a holy one. We offer our commitments to God, setting them apart for whatever purposes God would use them for. We consecrate our financial giving, our giving of time for mission and for study, our prayers, our witness of sharing about God's movement in our lives. Even when we're not sure exactly how we'll serve in outreach or exactly how we'll increase our giving, God blesses our commitment of faith, whether we tiptoe, whether we hop along, or whether we leap to the other side of faith. In a few moments, we'll offer those commitments to God, and we'll step out, many of us, in faith, stepping outside of our comfort zone, because Jesus calls us to whole life living. Just like the widow, our commitment cards found in your bulletin, or perhaps you've received them at home, reflect ways that you can give generously. There's a place for tithes and gifts and offerings. There's a place for you to consider giving beyond yourself with legacy giving. There's also ways you might consider giving of your time for study. or for mission, for outreach, for prayer. You can even indicate if these are ways you're already feeling called to serve God. These are steps of discipleship. There's even a place on the very back to check off that says, I'm not sure what God's calling me to do, but talk to me, because I know God's moving somehow in my life. If that's you, please check that off and let's see where God is indeed moving with you. As we conclude this message this morning and this series, in ways in which we are created to be generous, I have prayerfully considered how God is challenging us each week. This morning, I challenge you, as I do myself, to increase your giving. Not because the need is great, not because there's a bucket to fill up, but because when we give and increase our giving, we fulfill our need to be generous. We notice that God has already been moving in this place, and God needs us to be a part of that movement. So often we've said that we are the hands and the feet of God. Indeed, we are, but it goes farther than that. We are the hands and we are the feet. We are the hearts and we are the intellect. We are the bank accounts as well. It is through our giving that God feeds the hungry. It's through our giving that God clothes the naked. It's through our giving that God comforts those who are grieving. And my friends, it is through our giving that God is known as Lord and Savior in a hurting world that needs to know Jesus more than anything else. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.